songs ever written. And the vice chief of naval operations, friend of the show, Admiral Bill Moran's here. Can I say this? You're number two in the Navy. Is that right? Is that right?
I am number two.
Like, if I look at the flow chart, you're number two?
Yeah, if there is such a thing.
Well, there ought to be a flow chart in the Navy. Are you in town to go to Great Lakes Naval?
I am. I'm on my way up later this afternoon.
What are you guys doing?
Well, it's been a while for me, and we have put together some new curriculum up there for our new recruits, and want to go up and see how that's going. It's been several months. We've had several classes go through.
Okay.
And we like what we're seeing on the back end, but I want to kind of see how it looks through that entire process, the 9 weeks that they're in boot camp.
How much cleaning do you think's going on this morning at Great Lakes Naval Station before the Admiral gets there?
Oh, I imagine there's a little.
The white gloves are out, bud. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your service. When did you get in and why?
I joined right out of high school a long time ago. You and I probably are.
We're right in the same zone.
Yeah. Back in the good old 70s.
Yep.
I went in because Naval Academy recruited me to play sports.
Is that right?
Not because I was brilliant. So,
any family history? Military?
None. My great aunt was an Army major intelligence officer during World War II. But that was the only connection I had.
Well, she's got to be a bit legendary. That's not a job that a lot of women had.
No, but we didn't talk about it much back then.
Sure.
It's quite a history to go back and look at.
That's
what
cool.
Did. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is there a 23andMe equivalent for the American service branches? Because, you know, sometimes I know when I've been to the memorials in Washington, particularly the World War II memorial, there's an opportunity for you to add your loved one's name, and there's a registry and stuff. But it's tough to have all those things up to date. It was all pre-internet.
Yeah, well, the Women's Memorial right there in Arlington is one of those where you can go in and add your any veteran's name to that.
Sure.
That place. And we've done that with my aunt several years ago.
It's a cool story. Admiral Bill Moran's here, Navy's number two man. And I take a deep breath when I say this, but congratulations on your Boston Red Sox. I know what an avid fan you are, and they are having an epic season.
They are.
Regular season.
But as we talked about, the challenging months for the Red Sox are coming up. So
right.
We'll see how they do.
Right.
Admiral, Chicago has a long history with the Navy. I mean, Navy Pier, of course, but the obviously Great Lakes Naval Base. But, you know, as times change, why is it still here? Why is Great Lakes still here when you have such an outpost on the East Coast, but also in San Diego, other places? Why keep the boot camp in the Midwest in Chicago?
Well, those decisions were made a long time ago. Some of it's political, about just people being stronger advocates for keeping a base of that size. But frankly, the history is really important in the Navy. Tradition's important in the Navy. And it was our original boot camp, and we didn't want to let it go. And for those reasons, I'm sure we invested with the help of Congress and local state officials to make sure we could make it a world-class operation. We also got much smaller as a Navy, so we had to slim down. We used to have Orlando, San Diego, and Great Lakes, and we consolidated into one. And this area, Chicago in particular, has been just a fabulous host for our sailors and their families when they come. Now, I normally come up here in February just to make sure I truly appreciate Chicago and what sailors go through up on the Great Lakes. But
right, that's a good place.
But this is a pretty special time of year, just looking around outside.
Yeah.
What a great time to be in Chicago.
Oh, you like our view?
The view is pretty awesome.
Not so bad, right?
Yeah, it's you've gone from the analog age to the digital age.
We did. We had the street up. First floor street view to now the 18th, where we have a lake in the background that we put in. And you're fond of lakes, I know.
Yeah, Navy Pier right over there.
That's not so bad, right?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah.
You said that you've gotten the Navy's gotten slimmer over the years, and I know that because the economy is really booming, that affects your recruiting strength because people are getting jobs. They'd rather do that than go into the Navy.
Our biggest challenge, our biggest competitor for recruiting, is the economy. So when it's up, it's tougher, and when it's down, it's easier. No mystery there. When I was here 3.5 years ago in this studio, we were talking about this very thing, and back then we were bringing in about 33,000 every year. This year we're going to bring close to 40,000 in. So the not only is the demand gone up because we've grown as a Navy in those 3 years, but we're also competing for the same rich talent pool that the Army, the Air Force, and the Marine Corps are competing against. So This is a tough time. Our recruiters are feeling a strain, but so far we've met mission this year, and we're looking good for next year.
It's 8:47, talking to Admiral Bill Moran and talking about the United States Navy. There's a lot of issues I have with this president, but one I don't have with him is the ability to build the military back up to levels that it should be at, so we're prepared on all levels. We're talking about, I think if the math is right, 70 to 75 new ships, possibly. Is that right?
Well, we're marching towards the mid-300s. We're currently at 285, plus or minus one on a given day.
You like that number, 350?
I like bigger.
Bigger as in size of ship or bigger as in total
bigger
number?
Bigger as in total number.
Okay.
You know, we like to say quantity as a quality all to itself. And in a Navy, you have to be in the neighborhood. You got to be in the Middle East. You got to be in the Pacific. You got to be down south.
Right.
And to do that, you have to have a number of ships to be able to satisfy the demand.
Well, you look at some of the generally considered number one enemies of this country, regardless of summits and other things. Do we think of Russia as having a significant Navy?
They, like us, got much smaller back in the post Berlin Wall fall and that kind of the early 1990s, they reduced their size like we did. But we've maintained, I believe, a much better quality and capability than they have. They're still very good, but they're so much smaller than they used to
be. It's always surprising to me, too, because you'll see stories about China and other powers in this world getting in the Navy building. That's not something that they've had, or maybe they're building new aircraft carriers for the first time. But it makes you recognize how strong America's Navy is compared to other countries around the world.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had to compete on the global stage, and we are competing now with China and Russia. And of course, we have to keep our eye very closely watching North Korea, Iran, and the violent extremist fight that we've been in for the last 17, 18 years.
What's the really important. Obviously, there's things you can't talk about, but what's the most important region in the world in regards to America's security?
From a maritime perspective, the Pacific is where we're heavily focused. That said, Eastern Med has become a hot spot of late because of Syria and the unrest that's over in that part of the world. And, of course, the Arabian Gulf is also very important to global trade and therefore our own economic
well. And the Russian base, the naval base that they have in Syria, is that their number one reason for exerting the control they have over Syria?
They've always had an influence in TARDIS, Syria, and they're looking to grow that. So we're obviously competing with them in that region as well.
When you go and you meet folks like you're going to do today, what makes you feel most good about this United States Navy? When you meet a new kid that just has excitement in their eyes?
Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, bring them in on a bus, and they lose their hair if they're male, and they lose part of their hair if they're female, and they all kind of look the same going in. Yeah, it's a really wonderful. Well, it's easy to say when you're not doing it for yourself anymore, but they are terrific young men and women. They come from all walks of life, as you can imagine. We recruit them from every part of America, and they come in. They're all volunteers, and that's really what this is all about for those of us who are still serving, is to make sure that we're doing right by those volunteers who want to serve the country.
You've earned every one of those 4 stars. When do you know you've met someone who is going to be in, because we talk about in terms of sports, where people who have accomplished in sports see somebody and they go, oh, the kid's young, but he's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be Michael Jordan, but he's going to be there. Yeah. Do you have that kind of feel for a young Navy man or Navy woman?
Sure. Yeah, you run into them all the time. And our biggest challenge is to make every opportunity for them to stay in and make service for a career. And in this day and age, young men and women like to bounce around. They're not as inclined.
Attention spans.
Not so much attention span, just the amount of information that's out there, and they can aspire to do a lot of things through the internet and social media, and that pulls on them. So we have to do our job to keep men.
We were talking off the air a second ago about there's a lot of great organizations that try to make sure that soldiers and sailors that come home have things to do and are taken care of emotionally and physically. We train so well, and some of the great minds that come out of the service. Why isn't there a better pipeline from the military to civilian life? Is it just impossible to do?
I think we have an enormous number of organizations that have come out in the last 10, 15 years that go after this issue.
But it would seem it would serve the government well if we helped, you know, like colleges, we're going to job place you. It would seem like if we gave the the service branches money for job placement, we could help outsource these folks.
There's no question that we do America a great service by bringing in young men and women. If they serve 5 years or 25 or 35 years, when they go back into society, if you will, they're going to be leaders. They're going to be high-quality, loyal, trusted folks that any organization is going to want to have. I often get a little nervous about how badly corporate America and industry wants our people,
sure,
and entices them to leave my organization.
Right,
so
right.
We're in competition with them too. But that's just an indication of just how special people who wear the uniform and serve to a cause bigger than themselves come away with a character that is pretty important to the rest of the country.
I can't force you to do this because you outrank me. Can you hang around for a minute?
Sure.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get Sandberg in here as well. More with the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Bill Moran, in just a second. And if you got something by text, 312-981-7200. Back live on the Steve Cochran Show, show number 1193, wherever you're listening around the country. We appreciate it. It's another beautiful day in Chicago, so I hope you're here. Show number 24 in the new building and number 12 in the new studio. Sandberg, say hi to the Admiral.
Hey, so our friend of our the show, General John Borling, has pointed out to us before that not everybody is even qualified to enlist. You know, it's a very actual small number. I used to think, like, oh, if you can't do anything else, you just go into the military and they just take you. But it's actually a very small number that are really qualified to do it. And so I think that the perception needs to change that these aren't people that couldn't make it elsewhere, so that's why they enlisted. It's actually they could do other things, and they've chosen this as their because they're dedicated to our country.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, it's the numbers vary, but it's between 25% and 30% of high school grads even qualify. And as you might imagine, those 25% to 30% are really talented young men and women who have options and opportunity to go to big universities and chase their dreams. What's amazing to me is out of that group, though, enough of them want to come into the military. And they have lots of different reasons. Most of them are just the kind of classic, I want to do something bigger than me, and I want to be able to, I want to contribute. And thank God we still have those kind of young Americans that want to do it. So it's a competition for all of us to go try to convince them that this is a place for them. And I think the thing that attracts most of them is they want to be part of a team.
Sure.
That hasn't changed, and there's no better team to be part of than the United States military.
Admiral, when it comes to training, and you're going to go up to Great Lakes after this, but when it comes to training, warfare's changed, military's changed, our enemies have changed, the style has changed, fighting terrorism. Do you have to keep up with technological advances when it comes to the way that technology plays a role in military?
Yeah, absolutely. U.S. Industry and our laboratories, government labs and others, have for decades been at the leading edge of technology and development. But it's turning so fast. The improvements in capabilities, especially in the software cyber world, are turning faster than we can arguably keep up with in many cases. So we're constantly working on this. It affects the way you integrate different weapon systems. It affects how you communicate. It affects how you develop intelligence. All of those things are challenged by the pace of change in technology.
And I think a lot of people that have no military connection whatsoever don't understand how much of our air power comes from the Navy. And you mentioned technology. Do you guys oversee the drone aspect and the high-tech world that we're dealing with there? And I'm sitting in Washington or a base somewhere in this country dealing with an enemy on the other side of the world.
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's funny you mentioned that, and thanks for teeing it up, because yeah, I can't tell you the number of times I've met folks out in public who've been to a Blue Angels air show, and they go, man, it's a great Air Force we've
done. Right.
Hey, wait
a minute.
These guys, they got tail hooks on those airplanes. They
That's
land
right.
on aircraft
That's
carriers.
Right.
But we're developing right now a drone that will be an in-flight refueler, just a tanker, a gas station in the sky for our fighters.
It's unbelievable.
They'll be able to go out at great distance and park themselves, if you will, in an orbit, wait for the fighters to come up and plug in and get gas. So
it's a gas station. It's a gas station in the air.
It's a gas station in the air. That's right.
Unfortunately, no one to come out and do the windshields. Bring it back to the 70s one more time. Admiral Bill Moran and you again are going to Great Lakes Naval Station. Please pass on our thanks to the men and women that serve there. We're proud of all of them, and it's a great resource here. And we're talking about this off the air. You know, there is civilian access to that area regularly, and if you'd ever like to see what's going on there and how well we are protected with some young faces and stuff, the civilian folks, you just contact the base. There's lots of ways to do it. You can do it through the website.
There are. Every Friday of the year, we have a graduation up there. Right. It's something for every American to see. I hope they get a chance to do it.
Bring a tear to your eye and goosebumps and all those things. Proud member of the Navy, wears the Distinguished Service Medal, Defense Superior Service Medal, Legion of Merit, and many other things I don't have. And a diehard Red Sox fan. Here's hoping they don't take August off and give you some sort of coronary.
Amen, Steve. I'm looking forward to it.
Admiral, great to see you as always.
Yes, sir.